You better wake up. The world you live in is just a sugar-coated topper. There is another world beneath it. The real world.
Welcome, everybody, to Back in My Day. My name is David Petrangelo, and this week, the not-so-stereotypical millennials are heading back to the movies 25 years in the past. Yes, we are going to be talking about our favorite movies of 1998, because why should we talk about 2023 movies? That is so... What did you say, Mike? It's so...
Basic.
So basic. And that's
elementary.
Also elementary. Elementary, I say. You've heard the sultry
dear
voice.
Watson.
Dear Watson. You've heard the sultry voices of the other two on this show. But this week I am lucky enough to be joined by
Michael R. Power.
Ian Walter.
All right, gentlemen. As we say, we are so not basic. We are old, and we are going to be talking about stuff from 25 years ago. If you haven't heard yet, we did our now third annual Backies as well, where we awarded some really fun, dumb, and hilarious categories to games and a few movies from 1998 as well. A couple serious ones as well, like Best Sequel and Best Franchise Starter. But a lot of funny ones as well. So check out your podcast feed and check out our social media feeds as well. We're going to have the nominees and the awards be given there. So the Backies, an annual tradition where we go back 25 years and we give out some very meaningful but also very funny awards as well. So this time we're going to go through our top five movies of 1998, our individual lists. And then at the end, we're going to sort of quickly round out our own personal top 10s. We're not going to dig into them too deep. We'll do that at another time. From 6 to 10, we'll also sort of quickly mention those movies as well. But let's start with number 5. I don't know if one of you guys want to start. If you want to, I can put my hand up first if you guys want.
I'll give a little explanation about my list and why my number 5 choice is so important.
Yeah. Oh, also, too, our lists can be categorized however we want. They could be nostalgia. They could be rewatching, how we feel now, like all those types of things. It's really just
your favorite five.
Our favorite five. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's cool. So coming in at number 5 is interesting because looking at my top 5, they're all very wildly different movies. But looking at my list overall, I'll tease ahead to discussion of our 10 to 6. If we ever break that down, basically looking at a lot of one particular genre, and it's coming in at comedy with Half Baked. That's my number 5. So I have a lot of comedies that I loved in 1998 that dominate my top 10. I'll just tease ahead to that. But number 5 for me is Half Baked, which was like one of my favorite comedies as a kid. And Dave Chappelle being my favorite comedian, he's the front runner of that. That's like his movie, you know, and he wrote it. So it's a lot of his humor. And there's a lot of good, great comedians in that one. And I just have really fond memories. And I think we've even watch that in your basement, Power, and did a little bit of AB repeat, you know, a little bit of that AB sweet AB repeat action. Yeah, Half Baked for me at number 5.
Nice.
Oh man, I totally like overlooked that movie when doing my list. I don't.
So did I.
So it's not on my list, but I it's a great movie. So my number 5 is the movie that, if you asked me before I sat down to make the list, I'd probably say this is my number 1. But then when I sat down to make my list and I actually sorted all the movies, and I have a pretty methodical approach to doing my lists because I use my Letterboxd account where I, you know, rank my movies and give them star ratings. And then I kind of like go from there and categorize them from there. So where this movie fall after I sat down and actually ranked all my movies was number 5. But like I said, if you asked me before I did this, I'd probably be like, say it was number 1. So that is Blade.
You're one of them, aren't you?
No, I'm something else. Blade.
Blade's number 5 for me. I just think the world of the movie, I think we have so much to thank this movie for. Like, just if you like comic book movies and like the MCU, like, Nianyindu, and I don't know if you appreciate it, but I think there would be no MCU, there wouldn't be this, you know, these comic book movies coming out today if it wasn't for Blade, if it wasn't such a good movie and such a big success, and Wesley Snipes didn't crush it, and, you know, it's almost like it's forgotten in a way, I feel, from today's audience, but it's such an important movie to anyone that grew up in the 90s and was a fan of comic books and comic book movies. So yeah, I think it could easily be number one, but it just the way it shaked out here for me. Blade is number five.
So technical, Mike. So technical.
Yeah, I know it is. Of course. It got to fit into my other rankings, you know, my comic book movie rankings. Yeah. So I'm not changing the star rating. And so where it sits in my list is number five. I still think, you know, it's still high. It's still number five of the year.
Of course. Yeah,
Blade is a great movie. You know, it's a winner of a Baki, so it's worthy of conversation of top five.
Absolutely, exactly. I'm also going to put it at number five. Actually, nice. Same movie. Uh-huh. Yeah, I had this bouncing around my list a little bit. I was like, I know I like this movie. I know actually, I like all three. I know the third one is sort of shit on a little bit here and there. But it's not like this was like a one and done. Oh, this kicked everything off, and there was just Blade. Like. It kicked off three movies. It is, I think, part of the reason why, like, there's a game that was just announced. There's a reason why people like this character a little bit more than maybe they would have before this movie came out. It starts with this movie, and it's one of those comic book movies that is dark and gritty and bloody and serious and violent. And, like, we don't really get that, you know? That's just not a thing anymore. And it's one of the only franchises that did that and did it for all three, especially in the first one. So... that alone, it's the fact that it's that movie that kicked everything off, like you said, Mike, and like you guys have said in previous episodes, including the Backies episode, like that the opening couple of scenes, the opening, you know, 15 minutes, like that stuff is pretty iconic at this point. And maybe they're not, it's not a perfect movie, but who cares? It's Blade, and it's right. And it's fun as shit, and that's what matters.
And there's nothing like, and it's like, it's not the same, like if you, it's the fact that we were young when we watched it.
Yeah.
And it was based on a comic book, but it was also super adult.
Yes.
Super violent and graphic. And it's like, you felt like you shouldn't be watching it. And that just made you love it even more.
Yes.
And that thing you would hide with your friends and watching your basement when your parents were upstairs and hope they didn't come down because you're watching this like really gory vampire gore fest movie.
Yeah.
But anyways, that's all that goes in. That all goes into it. Right. So
yeah,
that's nostalgia basically.
Yeah, that's part of it. I'll go next. I'll go with my number four. I'm gonna go in a completely other direction and get a little bit sappy about this pick as well, because I have like fond memories of like watching this with my mom and stuff and going to the theater to watch it with her. It's Patch Adams. Patch Adams is a comedy slash drama with Robin Williams where he plays a doctor, and it's just, it's a really touching movie. I haven't seen it in a bit, but just thinking about some of the scenes, it's one of those performances by Robin Williams where he can be goofy because it's just part of the character. And also he's obviously very good at that, but also he can get serious and be down to earth with like his patients and with families and people that are essentially, they're dying. You know, it's a very serious movie, but it also gives those chances of levity that he's very good at doing and balancing those two. And I sort of have like this fond memory of seeing this movie in the theater and watching it at home and stuff, and my mom always really liking it and stuff too, and I want to watch it again because I've watched a couple of Robin Williams movies that I hadn't seen before in the last couple of years where he's more serious, and I want to revisit this one because I know it has a bit of both. So Patch Adams is my number four. Part of that is most of it's through memory because I haven't seen it in a bit, but
I guess great I'll go movie. Next, and we'll go in like a snake order.
The
right?
The so, ladder, of snakes and ladders.
Robin Williams made the top five.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, no, good pick. So my number four movie of 1998 is one that actually I have nostalgia for, but I rewatched recently with wife Power. And can say it holds up, and that is The Mask of Zorro. I don't know the last time you guys watched this movie, but The Mask of Zorro, starring Antonio Banderas as the titular character, Anthony Hopkins as his mentor, and Catherine Zeta-Jones as a love interest. It's one of those, I did see the movie in theaters. I remember seeing it. I remember loving it, and then I didn't watch it for 20 plus years until Wife Power and I decided to pick it one night, and we watched both of the Zorro movies that Antonio Banderas is in. And man, this one really, like, we were surprised how much we liked this movie and how good it was. And I will say it holds up. It's just great action and romance, like comic book kind of again. So that's, you know, my thing. But it's, yeah, I know it's got a cult, bit of a cult following too. So it's a pretty popular movie. And I don't know how you guys feel about it, if you've seen it recently, but I will say it holds up, and it's just a great movie. And that's why it's my number four.
That's good to hear that it holds up. I would not have expected that. So that's awesome.
Yeah, it's a classic franchise starter. No, the Mask of Zorro, great pick, for sure. We even mentioned it when we covered Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 3, you know, Turtles in Time, because the villain was one of the main characters in the Mask of Zorro.
Oh, so, yeah, that's right.
But yeah, so my number four in this little snake order here is a massive blockbuster by way of Armageddon.
Oh, there it is.
We mentioned it in our discussion of twin movie phenomenon, how just this and Deep Impact both made tons of money at the box office in 1998, but Armageddon was a special movie. It's one of Michael Bay's good movies, right? When he was back when he was one of the most sought after directors. Massive cast, you know, Bruce Willis, Billy Bob Thornton, Ben Affleck, you know, all these guys.
Aerosmith, you know.
Yeah, just like Michael Clark Duncan, like this huge cast, and just a great, you know, action blockbuster, I thought, and with a lot of heart to it. And Armageddon is just one of those movies you want to watch. You might not like it as many, you know, your mileage may vary, but it's still something worth seeing, I think, in my opinion.
Yeah. You go again. We're going to snake it.
Oh,
down.
Yeah, the so snake.
Snake
attack.
It, yeah.
All right, snake attack. We're going in number three. So I mentioned my top five is kind of all over the place when it comes to type of movie. This one, I don't know how you guys feel about it, but it's my number three, big impact for me, Rounders with Matt Damon.
Yep.
And, you know, who's the guy from, who's the comedian?
Edward Norton is in that too, right?
Yeah, Edward Norton is in it. Rounders is with Matt Damon, Edward Norton, and
John Malkovich? John Turturro?
Well, yeah, he plays
Turturro's
a great
in it, yeah.
Sure. John Turturro was the guy I was thinking about. He's so funny in that, and he's funny in a lot of things. So I like Rounders. It's a movie about underground poker to a degree, and the nature of poker, and you know, how it could put somebody through the ringer, you know, addiction to gambling, all that kind of stuff. And it's just a great drama that came out in 98, and it's still one of my favorite movies to this day. It's a great movie to revisit.
I wish I saw this way later, probably like 10 years after it came out or something like that. I really liked it. I thought it was a great movie. I should watch it again. It's awesome. I remember really liking it.
Yeah, so. I've never seen it, but
it's good, man. You'd like it. I
Mina
think you'd like
it's
it.
It's really good.
And yeah.
You mentioned Malkovich is a bit of an antagonist. He plays like this Russian gangster.
He's a KGB guy. Yeah.
Yeah, the KGB. And he's like, I splash the pot whenever the fuck I like. Yeah. You know, that kind of stuff. So.
He's really so good with that. Yeah.
It's amazing. All right. So I'm liking how different our lists are so far.
Yeah.
I have a movie here that I would be surprised if it was on your guys' list. But for me, this is a big nostalgia pick. This is a Disney animated movie from 1998, one of the last great animated movies. And that's Mulan.
I was going to say.
Mulan
is
my number three.
Nice.
That's awesome.
You know, one of my favorite Disney animated movies, even though it's came out like late in the Disney animation whatever life cycle. So I just think it's a great movie. It's an awesome movie. I love the music. I love Eddie Murphy as the dragon, and I wish they didn't put in the live action version, but the live action version actually is pretty good. It's one of the better ones.
Yeah, that's what you say.
It's not a straight remake.
Yeah, right.
It's not a shot for shot same script or anything, right? It's just the story told in live action, so it's done how I'd want, you know, that to be done, unlike the other ones like Lion King, Little Mermaid, that's just like the same script, the same everything. So it's one of the better ones, and so yeah, it's good in 1998, and the live action remake is also one of the better ones. So that's for me number three, Mulan.
Nice. Yeah, I gotta rewatch this, and I have to watch that that live action one, because you've said you and the wife have both said it's really good. So I gotta give that a shot. Although now that I canceled Disney Plus, temporarily. I know it's going to be temporary. So, speaking of Disney, my number three is A Bug's Life.
Oh, I didn't know it was connected. Sorry.
Because I appreciated this more later, I think. You know, I definitely liked it then. As I mentioned in the backies, it was a movie that I remember seeing in the theater. That and Ants both came out in the same year, so check out that category as well. But it's early Pixar. It's their second full feature, I believe. And you know, when I think back about some of the ones that I really enjoy, it is still one of those ones. And it's not perfect. It doesn't look incredible because it's early, but like, man, it's still a really fun movie. It's got a lot of wacky characters. It's very much like huge cast of characters, just like Toy Story, just they're all bugs, you know, and that's great. I love that. If Pixar does anything, at least did anything better than anybody else, it was to bring things that don't have a voice to life and you care about them. So that's why I like The Bug's Life, and it's definitely it's part of a nostalgia pick, but I definitely appreciated it even more as I got older, because it's like, oh, I love what Pixar does. So yeah.
All about it being the second, because we give a lot of love to Toy Story, like kicking off this crazy Pixar run. We've ranked, you know, the top 21 Pixar films and all that. So like, yeah, it's a good point to bring up that it was their second out the gate and it was really strong as well. For me, the movie doesn't hit as much, but I remember like even when the first time I went to Disney World, like those 4D experiences, it was the first one that I tried where you sit down, you watch a show, and like, you know, they're spitting mist at you and like all this like
bug, it was like stuff wind and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. It was pretty cool. It was like animated Bug's Life stuff. So it was really fun.
Yeah. I did that with the Muppets. I did one of those 4D things. I remember Fozzie Bear had like little flower on him that he always wears, and he like squeezed the water coming out.
Oh yeah, that's
and
right.
He spritzed water at you. And then I did it with T2, with Terminator 2, and like the Terminator actually, the guy actually like came off the stage with a motorcycle and drove up thing. Yeah,
that's
like
cool.
Right, and I was on the outside of the row too, because like my parents were like, oh, put the kids on the outside in case they have to go to the bathroom or whatever. The guy drove right by, like a real motorcycle. This thing wasn't a toy. It was loud. It was like it just strolled right by in the aisle. It was amazing. Curious,
have you been to the Laugh Factory, the Monsters, Inc. one?
No, I haven't been to Disney since, oh my God, grade 9 or 10 was the last time I went. So it's been a long time. So no.
Cool thing about the Laugh Factory is it's Mike Wazowski and it's these other, whoever they're getting to voice other monsters that are doing the bulk of the stand-up, but they actually involve the audience and they put the camera on them. And it's pretty cool.
Damn, I wish. I think the last time I went to Disney was probably just as that movie came out, would be my guess, or just after. So it's been a while. cool. Okay, so it's my turn again, back with the ladder, snakes and ladders, whatever. Number two for me is Saving Private Ryan. That's number two. For all of the reasons we've talked about probably numerous times, it's an epic movie. Opening scenes, opening hour, I don't know how long is that opening scene, that, you know, it's what, half an hour or something of just incredible,
amazing,
incredible. Yeah. Movie making, huge, great cast. I would say this sort of the one reason why this isn't one over two is because that opening stuff sits more with me than the story itself in the movie, if that makes sense. It looks great. It's acted well. Like it's great, but there's something about the way that everything is shot and the way that the movie's made more than the story. If I connected as much with the story that I did with the visuals and with how everything was sort of crafted, then maybe it would be number one. But there's something about it that is just too iconic and too great. It's a fantastic movie. So Saving Private Ryan is two for me.
Great choice.
Yeah, good choice. My number two is American History X.
Oh, nice.
That movie, it just stuck with me ever since I watched it. I don't know how old I was. I didn't watch 1998, but when I did watch it, I think I was in high school sometime, and like the shocking shit that you see in that movie for the first time when you're young, like that just never, that never leaves your brain. And then the overall message that it sort of leaves you with at the end of the movie is important too. So yeah, that's just a movie that like I will constantly think about and always remember. And I just think it's a good, also a really good movie with a really good performance, and just crazy, crazy stuff happens so that you, when you watch it when you're younger, you had never seen anything like that before. So it's, but it's also a good movie, and I've rewatched it, and I think it holds up as a good movie with a solid message to go with it. So yeah, that's Edward Norton. And Edward Norton is such a beast in that movie. He looks massive.
Edward Furlong, like, am I right?
Yeah, but he's not looked like that ever in any other movie, right? Edward Norton, has he ever looked that huge? Like, it's crazy.
Well, he's also got his shirt off for like 90% of the movie too. Massive. Yeah.
Yeah.
Crazy. Yeah. Anyway, but Edward Furlong is in it too, right?
He is. Yeah,
he's the kid brother. From T2. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
The Edwards. Yeah.
The Edwards.
The Edwards.
I gotta rewatch that movie. I gotta rewatch that. Yeah.
Should have called it. No, it's a good pick, American History X. So I got number two coming in, and then I'll wrap it right into my number one pick. So top five, 1998, my number two. We mentioned up top with your number five, so that's Blade. And Blade's coming in. I was really toying. I wanted this to be my number one, but we'll get there. Just that opening scene that I keep coming back to, I always talk about, so iconic for me, massive comic book movie, and Wesley Snipes kills it as Blade. Also Stephen Dorff as the villain. So, and Chris Christopherson as Whistler, you know, so just a great movie. And, I was looking at who wrote it, and it was interesting because it was written by David S. Goyer. So Blade is very iconic. We give it its praises, and it's deserving as such. But written by David S. Goyer, who was also has writing credits on. Let me just make sure I got this correct here. But I believe it's The Dark Knight and Man of Steel. Yeah, he did the story for Dark Knight. Yeah. So David S. Goyer has some great, great writing credits, and you know, from Blade to Dark Knight. So how can you go wrong? So Blade is my number two. Nice. And speaking of opening scenes. Strong opening scenes. We're going to go back to what you were saying, Dave, with Saving Private Ryan as my number one for 1998. Really iconic movie, my favorite war film. There's something about it, how it captured World War II. Like, I just think, yeah, it's very cinematic. It's Spielberg, you know, Band of Brothers spawned out of this, but also just like the incredible cast, that D-Day opening sequence that is like, if you're going to make a World War II video game, you're always trying to mimic that,
recreate
sequence,
that, you know, yeah, man,
recreate that scene.
Call of Duty 2, I think, tried to do that.
And Medal of Honor did it.
Medal of Honor. That's probably what I'm thinking of. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, no, Call of Duty did as well. So yeah,
they, yeah,
any
okay.
game that tries to do World War II has to try and recreate that scene.
It's trying to. So. It's coming from that. 100%. It's got to come from that, because now you have a visual that is so well done and iconic. You got to draw it from from the best, you know, like for sure. Yeah.
Spielberg, it seems like, and Matt Damon made it into my list again with the Rounders and Saving Private.
Yeah.
There's my top five.
That's awesome.
So just piggybacking off that, Saving Ryan's Privates is my number one as well.
Nice.
There you go.
I'll go further. Like, the best war movie ever made, in my opinion, like from all the ones I've seen. You know, it got robbed at the Oscars, so we're giving it its flowers now. I'm still salty about that it didn't win the Oscar, but it's just, like you guys have said, it's one of the best movies ever, basically.
It really is.
The war movie ever, and one of just Spielberg's best. And it's so good that the first time I ever saw it was in my grade 9 history class, and where they showed the D-Day beach scene, one of my teachers. And I was just like, now I have to watch the rest of this movie. And then I was just blown away sitting there in school. And I was just blown away again when I watched the full movie. And it's just, not enough
to say,
but it's really good.
It's funny you say it got robbed at the Oscars, because it also got, Saving Private Ryan also got kind of robbed in our episode 100 bracket, tournament for the movie of the 90s. Yeah. So it's nice that we get to talk about it here, because I think it's clearly going to be our what do you call it, the film of 1998 for back in my day.
Yeah, so totally.
The number one, two number ones and the number two already, yeah. But anyway, yeah. I'm still curious to hear what Dave's number one is.
So my number one is in this place because I've rewatched it a couple of times over the last, I would say, like 5 years in two different instances, which I think just sort of happened. I think one of them I was like, oh, I haven't seen this in a while. Another one, I don't know, I watched with my parents. My dad was like, sure, let's watch that. Anyways. I've learned to appreciate this later. It's definitely not a movie I saw in 98 because I definitely would not have appreciated what it did. It's also a movie that we have not mentioned yet. So it's completely off our list and is something that hasn't been mentioned yet. And it comes with one of a lead actor that we all love and especially around this time loved as well. It's The Truman Show.
What if your world was make-believe?
Cue the sun. While the world he inhabits is counterfeit.
I'm not allowed to talk to you.
That's how I look. Your type. There's nothing fake about Truman himself.
What if you didn't know it until now?
A lot of strange things have been happening.
Stand by ring cam.
Is he looking at us?
Does he think he knows?
I think I'm mixed up in something.
Something big.
Oh. We accept the reality with which we're presented.
That is my number one. Yeah.
That's an honorable mention for me.
You saved our butts a little bit because that's one of the best movies in 98, and the fact that it hadn't been mentioned yet was like illegitimizing our podcast.
Great choice, Dave.
Yeah, and similar to how I mentioned with Patch Adams, where it's like it's serious but also funny. Like there's it's mostly funny. The Truman Show is mostly a comedy, right? But you know, Jim Carrey has that same capability of being able to bring the seriousness when he needs to. The subject matter of the movie itself is not goofy. I mean, so in a way it's goofy, I guess, but you know, and this is also a movie that like has elements of it that sort of look to the future and something that, you know, you could see happening kind of thing. Like it's just, it's,
and it happens in many ways.
It happens.
Like it's in a nice allegory,
poignant.
Right?
It's so, very yeah. poignant.
Very poignant
to today.
Yeah.
Which is why I movie.
Yeah.
It would hit so well and so different today. You'd be like, this was made 25 years ago. This could be commenting on what's happening today, right? Like
this movie could definitely have come out in the last decade and would be just as impactful, I think, and stuff. And I think like I probably watched this when I was younger and didn't quite get everything that was in it. I was like, oh, it's Jim Carrey. It's The Mask. Of course I'm going to watch this movie. You know, that kind of thing.
Well,
but there's a lot of messaging
to your point,
in this.
It's a stark reminder that Jim Carrey ran the 90s. He like really owned the 90s, you know?
Yeah. And this is a really, really fun, but also very sort of, like you guys said, poignant movie and stuff. And like, I don't know, man, I when I rewatched it, I figured like, oh, it's going to feel a little dated just because of the concept and whatever. And sure, aspects of it, whatever, who cares? It's a 90s movie. That's what you get when it's at the time that I watched it, 22, 21 years old. Fine. Fair enough. Right. But man, it was good. It was really, really good. And it would probably be like 10 years that I hadn't seen it until that point. And then I watched it twice within like a year and a half of each other. I'm like, yeah, this movie's great. It's awesome. Sort of picking up the pieces of how he figures everything out. And that ending sequence is just so, so cool and so well done. And like, yeah, it's hard to deny how much I love what Jim Carrey was doing at the time. Similar with Robin Williams, right? So I think overall we can agree that, you know, we if we want to give out a sort of, you know, accolade kind of thing, sure, Saving Private Ryan, no argument whatsoever, but yeah, my sort of personal pick would be Truman Show. So that's our 5-1 lists. But quickly, with, you know, we can mention a couple comments here and there and stuff, but our list from 10 to 6 or 6 to 10, however we want to do it. We'll just sort of go through rapid fire each individually, but whichever one of you guys want to start, we can do that, and then we can sort of bounce off each other a little bit for that. But Mike, I'll jump in. Yeah, okay, yeah. Yeah, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, like, you know, I mentioned that there were so many good movies in 1998, Truman Show being one of them. It's hard to narrow down to 10. So a couple honorable mentions for me would be like Ronin and The Faculty.
I forgot about that movie.
But they didn't quite make it. My number 10 has another iconic actor from the 90s, Will Smith in Enemy of the State. And then from 9 through 6, are pretty much all comedies, akin to my number five pick, which was Half. So I couldn't believe it when I stood back and looked. Oh, my favorite movies, a lot of my favorite movies from 1998 were comedies. But it makes sense with like the age that we were and everything like that. So I got nine, Can't Hardly Wait, which is like that sort of teen comedy. Eight is There's Something About Mary, you know, classic. Ben Stiller. Number seven is The Wedding Singer, which is a movie that we're going to be covering here on Back in My Day, because thanks to Mina Power's victory over 1998 summer box office. And then we have, to round out my sixth choice, A Night at the Roxbury, which is another classic comedy with Will Ferrell and Chris Kattan. So yeah, there we go. All comedies. Nice.
All comedies,
that's
awesome.
Yeah, that's I'll just, that goes right into my list. Like, those are great picks, Ian. My list from 10 to 6 is The Waterboy at number 10.
Oh, yeah, just Adam missed Stanley my movie. Mark. Yeah,
yeah. And then I have Pokemon, the first movie, Mewtwo Strike.
Oh,
yeah,
snap, just, that's when it came out. Oh, I missed that.
Yeah, so much nostalgia, like watching at the
car. Sure, yeah,
like I had to make my list. And then I have Night at the Roxbury. Okay, and I just have a quick tidbit about this movie. It's there's like this thing I saw on Twitter, which was like, what's a movie that you have really high rated that the Rotten Tomato score is like the biggest disparity between your rating and the Rotten Tomato score? And then I someone said Night at the Roxbury. Like, to me, this is like a top tier Will Smith comedy. Like, I have it. What do I have it on my list?
Oh, Will Ferrell. Yeah.
10. Oh, Will Ferrell. Not Will Smith. Oh my God. It's getting late. Will Ferrell. This movie, you won't believe it, it has an 11% rating on Rotten
Tomatoes.
Whoa.
Yeah,
I definitely put that in like an 80-90, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I give it like an 8 out of 10. Anyway, so Night at the Roxbury, and then Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels. I'm surprised
It's a nice pick, yeah.
That's my number seven, and The Truman Show just missed my top five at number six.
Nice.
Lock, Stock's a great pick, for sure.
Yeah. So my number 10, I have a couple comedies on here as well, but a couple of them that we've already talked about. My number 10, I know this isn't a good movie, but at the time, this was like a kid's, one of my good friend's birthday parties. We went to go see this. I think it came out like the day of his birthday. So we went on like a Saturday morning or Saturday at 1 p.m. or something like that.
You're going to say, because I also went for this movie on a birthday party.
Yeah, as Godzilla.
Yeah. Oh, never mind. I thought you were going to say Rush Hour.
Oh,
however,
yeah.
However, Power and I watched this at the drive-in in Owen Sound.
In Owen Sound.
Yeah, man.
I don't know. I haven't rewatched it in forever, but just based on the memory of it and rewatching it with friends, because like, oh, yeah, Dan, we saw this at your birthday, like that kind of thing.
And that movie is not good, Dave.
No. I know. No, it's probably not.
Godzilla himself is very much back in the...
yes, no kidding, right? Oh, my God. Shows, multiple movies. Like, what is happening right now? My number nine is something that... I don't know if this is on anyone's radar, but it goes off of my love of Airplane, and it is Wrongfully Accused. That's what it's called.
Oh, yeah,
Because it makes fun of The Fugitive, and I love The Fugitive. Love The Fugitive. That movie's... awesome. I don't know how much it holds up, but it is. Wrongfully Accused is just making fun of that movie almost exclusively, and it's amazing. Leslie Nielsen just doing his goofy thing. You know, basically Naked Gun, but with a different movie to make fun of. That's really what it is. American History X is my number eight. All the reasons you said earlier, Mike. Number seven, I'm with you guys. Night at the Roxbury. Movie's amazing. It's hilarious.
Oh, so good.
It's so good.
I think it's one of those, like, you had to be in it, like, in 98, though. Like, I don't think people watch that today and feel the same way we do.
It's hard because we grew up with those guys, especially Chris Kattan. He was so big at that time, too, with SNL, that it's like...
Speaking of Jim Carrey running the 90s, he was part of it in the SNL skits. So.
Yeah, he was in the SNL skits. Yeah, and those skits
right. Because the Rotten Tomatoes website wasn't around in 98. So all these reviews from these critics are all from...
I think Ian's right,
They weren't there when the movie came out, and like, you missed the boat. You missed it.
You weren't watching SNL.
It was a moment.
Yeah. You weren't watching SNL with these guys, and then, hey, the movie came out. You know, Airheads is like that. Superstar is like that. Like, those movies, Blues Brothers, really. Yeah, Superstar. Yeah, yeah. Like Superstar is amazing. That movie's hilarious. Okay, and then rounding out my six is Rounders. Rounders is a great movie.
Oh yeah,
great movie. Yeah, it is a really really good movie. Again, something I watch way later, but everything you said, Ian, it's awesome. I'm not some like person who loves poker movies or cares about gambling or poker or any of that, but it's a really well done movie. Really good early Matt Damon stuff, just like, you know, that you'd expect and around that time. It's great. It's a great movie.
I mentioned that it like highlights the addiction of gambling. It does that, but it also, it shows poker in a different light than other gambling, because poker is a game that has certain level of skill to it versus like other games in the casino where it's you just go in and lose your money.
yeah. Well, yeah. I mean,
to combat the odds in poker or to make the odds, you know, more favorable.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So,
but yeah, so just Rounders in general, it highlights my love for poker, which is why I made my top five. So yeah,
there you go. Yeah. You got to watch it, Mike. It's very good. It's very good.
Yes, I will. That's
yeah. One of those 98 movies that I think maybe at the time growing up, it wouldn't have been necessarily on our radar. But I think as you get older, it's definitely one that you would appreciate for all the reasons that Ian was just saying, for sure.
Power, if you have Lock, Stock in your list, this could be a movie that would crack your top 10. Maybe.
Yeah. 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 It's right. It's very good. Yeah. It's no Godzilla, but you know.
Amazing. Yeah, I thought you were gonna say Rush Hour, because I mean, I have nostalgia for that movie. I don't think it holds up and is great, but you guys know I love Jackie Chan.
Yeah,
it's kind of a shame it didn't make my top 10, because I did love that movie back.
If it was 2000 or 2001, Rush Hour 2 would be on my list. That's the one I watched over and over and over. I memorized multiple parts of that movie, so for me it would be 2. Yeah.
Yeah, like it has, I think the Rush Hour series has the same effect sort of as Austin Powers does for me, where it's like, it was so good when I've watched it, and like, it's not as good as I go back. But like, yeah, I do prefer the sequel, like you said, Rush Hour 2, and I also prefer the Austin Powers 2. So that's...
Yeah, I think a lot of people prefer Austin, like the second Austin Powers is like the best one. I think that's kind of a known thing, or at least a general consensus. So, okay, so that is our favorite 10 movies of 1998. We have some Truman Show. We have some Saving Private Ryan, which is essentially, I think, our overall pick between the three of us. We got Blade, Rounders, American History X. Yeah. Yeah, we got lots. A huge year. We only touched the surface of great movies from that year. So go back into your streaming services, hit up IMDb, Rotten Tomatoes. Don't look at the scores of those movies. Just find ones that seem interesting to you. How about that? Because Night at the Roxbury is worth it. We promise you. But until you can find us next time, that is essentially going to wrap up most of what we're doing for 2023. We may have some sort of things that trickle in towards the beginning of 2024, but we're going back 25 years, looking at 1998. Make sure you listen to The Backies, which is also on your feed, where we give away some awesome, fun video game and movie awards. And then these guys here. But until that time, until we catch everybody next time, Mike, where can everybody follow along?
And we're not done with 1998 movies yet, because we still have our Wedding Singer review.
That's
coming
right.
Up,
which that's
we're
true.
Doing soon before the year closes out, hopefully. So
and wait, the fly.
And the fly. Yeah. And so you can look out for those episodes on our social media feeds at Day Back In across all the social media platforms. The podcast is called Back In My Day. Find us on your podcast app of choice. If you're feeling generous, leave us a review, a 5-star ranking. It all helps. And we have a Patreon page, patreon.com/backinmyday, where we post a lot of, not a lot of, but when they come out, we post recaps of the Disney Plus, Star Wars, and Marvel shows mostly on there. But we're thinking of other fun stuff to do there in the new year, so stay tuned. And again, on social media, you can keep on top of all of it, keep track of all of it on our social media feeds. At Day Back In is the handle.
Amazing. Well, thank you everybody for listening, coming along this journey. Hopefully you had a great 2023. And we will catch everybody soon. Thanks for listening. Goodbye.
In case I don't see you, good afternoon, good evening, and good night.